First, Wisconsin is heading into a midterm election year with a state government that's deeply divided. A lot of political observers have seen polarization getting worse over the years, and our next guest says it is a problem, but there are steps we could take to make things at least a little less partisan. Todd Berry recently retired after nearly 25 years as president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. His recent editorial for the State Journal is called How to Fix Wisconsin's Hyper-Partisan State Government. Todd, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me again.
So, Todd, you're saying hyper-partisan, but it wasn't always that way. How did you see this change over time?
Well, you know, I started watching state government in the early 70s, and even then, it was starting to change. The people were running for the legislature saying that I will be a full-time legislator and I will be there to serve you full-time. And as things unrolled from there, and part of it is national political trends too, but I do think that the combination of the nation's politics and Wisconsin's legislature evolving have, in the last 10 to 20 years, made it a fairly unkind place.
And you've, in your piece, you really point toward that idea of the full-time legislator. It's not a part-time gig. You see that as a big driver of partisanship. Why is that?
Yeah.
It seems like a structural thing that shouldn't make that much difference.
Well, and that's really what motivated this comment, is that I tend to think about behavior as there are structural things that if you push lever B or pull button A or whatever you do, that certain things happen. And I think the way we've set things up result in what we've got. If you are a full-time legislator that relies on the job for your means of survival, the state benefits are obviously good. You get those. It's not a great living, but it's a decent living. Your whole psychology changes, because you don't serve on a city council or a school board or a county board because you want to have a political career or you want to keep a job. That's not true with a lot of the legislature. I'm not saying all legislators are like that by any means, but that has become more common. And when that happens, any kind of real advanced planning or strategic thinking about the state's problems tends to stop to a large degree, and the power tends to really gravitate, I think, to the party leaders who control committee appointments and chairmanships and bill scheduling and money and can even arrange primaries for people. And so it's really become much more tribal, much more divided, and the power is very concentrated. I don't think when people run for the legislature, they think that they are going to be essentially as controlled from the top as they are.
And you compare us to other states. There are some other states with full-time legislatures. Wisconsin is kind of different than most of the rest
of them. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the research, 10 to 12 states tend to have what are called professional career legislatures. And when you look at the states, Illinois, New York, California, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, if I recall, having been in the financial and fiscal and economic world for the last 25 years, that list became very familiar to me, because what states have late budgets, often have deficit crises, have financial statements that are in the red, and on and on. And Wisconsin fits right into that group, even though we are much geographically smaller than a California and less populous than an Illinois.
Talking to Todd Berry, formerly of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, just retired there, talking about partisanship in Wisconsin state government, what drives it, and possible solutions. Full-time legislature, one of, but not the only cause, as you see it. Also the way we draw legislative districts and the way we hold our primaries, you see as parts of the problem.
Elections, you know, both parties are very guilty on the redistricting score. When they get a chance, both Democrats and Republicans in this state, when they've had total power, have grabbed it and gerrymandered the state. The Democrats did so in the 80s, and that benefited them for decades. The Republicans did it more recently, and they have benefited. What compounds that, I think, is that the great La Follette legacy of the primary, which was supposed to take power away from the bosses, is actually sort of having the opposite effect, because low turnout primaries in August, in districts that tend to be gerrymandered, mean in places like Dane or Milwaukee County, you move far left to appeal to a small primary electorate. And the same in a Waukesha or an Ozaukee or a Washington County. You move to the right. So what happens if you look at the last election in 2016? Over half of the Wisconsin legislature was reelected before November. So what accountability is there to voters when they don't have any choice?
And when these legislators are elected, so if you're in that liberal county, you're going to win, and yep. you're going to elect the most liberal you can find, and vice versa, as you're saying, in a Republican conservative county. So all of a sudden, you've got the people as far to the left over here, as far to the right over here.
Exactly.
And they show up to meet together. Are they going to compromise?
Well, I mean, who are they responsive to? They're responsive to their electors. Who are their electors? Their low turnout August primary voters. Which, you know, it may be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 votes that elect them, when in a typical assembly race in a general election, maybe there are 18,000, 20,000, 22,000 votes cast. So the primary voter tends to be more extreme, more ideological, more single issue, and that goes on both sides of the aisle.
And you write that bringing it all together in a way, okay, I got elected, I show up. Still, I want to try to compromise with the other party. I want to be a lone wolf. Well, you mentioned that party leadership with control in the assembly or Senate. Oh, well, okay, that's fine. You're not on a committee. Or if I'm really ticked off, you will run a primary and find somebody further to the right or left than
you.
Yeah,
exactly. And although this hasn't happened recently, both parties have more or less arranged primaries for rebels in the last decade or so to try to punish incumbents that didn't behave.
Well, that's a lot of problems. There's enough problems for us to tackle in the next 17 minutes or so. Let's get to solutions. Is it realistic to think we could go back to a part-time legislature now?
Yeah. Well, a lot of other states, obviously, that are Wisconsin size and population are doing it.
But going back to it, or just
well,
to avoid
there's,
state with
it? There's the hitch. I should say, by the way, that these are strictly my opinions. They don't reflect any organization or so forth. I'm retired.
Speaking of lone wolves,
yeah,
that's
I'm,
you
yeah,
now.
I'm not even a lame duck. I'm a dead duck. But when you look at the dynamic, there's no incentive for these people to compromise. They answer to a very narrow electorate, and the result is dysfunction. And we're seeing this in states like Wisconsin. Can we go back? Tough, because in a sense, the fox is in the chicken coop. I mean, there's a reason why when Democrats were in power in the late 2000s, they didn't want to change the redistricting law because they thought they were going to take advantage. There's a reason why Republicans don't want to change it now, because they're benefiting from it. So it's hard to get the people that benefit from the system to change the system. That's not to say one can't come up with a lot of ideas to be discussed, and of course I did that in that column.
We're talking to Todd Barry, former president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, speaking for himself now, talking about how to make state government more bipartisan, lower the polarization in the state. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you seen what Todd is seeing? Wisconsin getting more polarized, more divided over the years, especially in its state government. Why do you think that is? What could change it? And what do you think about some of his specific ideas going back to making being a legislator a part-time job? How about to changing redistricting in Wisconsin? And maybe how about nonpartisan primaries? That's another idea he throws out there. We'll get into that in a minute. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue the conversation with Todd Barry. He retired this year as president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He's sharing his ideas now on making state government more bipartisan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen Wisconsin politics get more divided over the years? Why do you think it's happened? And what do you think about ideas like going back to a part-time legislature, to changing the way we draw our voting maps, our district maps in Wisconsin? And how about changing the way we do primaries? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Todd, let's get into that idea I was just mentioning. Some states have done this, changing the way we do primaries. So there's not a Republican primary and a Democratic primary. Do I have that right?
Right. Some call it a jungle primary, and Washington State has it. I believe California has it now. Everybody runs, and regardless of party, the top two vote getters are elected. I think the beauty of that in a lot of the districts in Wisconsin, which by the virtue of where people choose to live are going to tend to be one-party districts, is at least you give voters a choice in a Republican, heavily Republican district among two Republicans in November or two Democrats in a Democratic district in November. I should add, though, that I don't think redistricting or primary changes are enough. I think there's a lot of other things we can do. I think more opportunity for third-party, independent kind of candidates would be a good thing. And frankly, the Democrats and Republicans in this state have written state election law essentially to create a duopoly, if you will, that protects them. Other things that interest me, Illinois for many years had multi-member legislative districts, and they had something called bullet voting, and I don't want to go into the details, but the long and the short of it is, one, by the way one organized one's candidacy could conceivably elect a Democrat out of Madison, or out of Waukesha County, or a Republican out of Madison, and so it tended to diversify the two parties within the legislature. Probably the most radical idea I threw out there, and people just, they almost grimace at this when I suggest it, but I think there's logic to it, and that is maybe we need one house of the legislature to be bigger. Maybe the assembly should be three times the size it is now. Pay them less, have to spread the staff out less, but what are the benefits of that? Well, first of all, it doesn't cost as much to campaign. You can be a legislator and campaign without having to give up a full-time job. Another particular appealing aspect of this to me is, what if special interest groups want to come in and buy lots of television time to try to influence a legislative race? Well, if there are suddenly 15 or 20 assembly districts around Madison, it's not efficient. And it also makes it harder, I think, for interest groups to attack candidates, because you're more likely to be known by your constituents, and so impersonal blind attacks aren't going to have as much effect. So anyway, those are a few other things that I was throwing out as well.
Let's bring in a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lou is with us in Cudahy. Lou, hi. Lou, are you there? We don't have Lou. The phones are being a little weird, I think. I wanted to bring a headline up in the news today, Todd, a ruling the Pennsylvania Supreme Court struck down their redistricting map over there. There are other challenges going around the country, including Wisconsin's in the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court now. Are you hoping for changes in the courts?
Well, I think we tend to look for change in courts too much and as a last resort. It should be, and I should say, and I'm not an attorney, that courts are really reluctant to get into legislative matters like this. So who knows what the U.S. Supreme Court will decide in the case that involves Wisconsin and some other states. to go to some more kind of Iowa bipartisan, nonpartisan kind of system would be good. The Republican majority in the legislature could do it tomorrow if they wanted. But I don't think it's the panacea. I think you have to do things with primaries, with election law, thinking about how the legislative houses are structured. You've really got to go in and try to change the structural incentives to get different results.
Let's try another caller, Jeff in Richland. Is that Richland Center? Jeff, hi.
Yeah, I live in Richland County. What I love, Mr. Berry, and I don't know if you do, but this whole notion of that politicians are these honorable golfers who will call their own fouls, and we let them make their own rules, and then they adjudicate whether they follow them or not. But what I would like to see and have advocated for a while is actually let's eliminate the state Senate and just have our assembly people, and they can all conduct their business right out on the floor where we can see what's going on instead of these secret late-night meetings they have between the two bodies, and all of a sudden you end up with this strange, you know, transformation of a bill that includes all kinds of weird stuff, and you have no idea who put it in there and who's, you know, who's behind all this.
Jeff, thanks for the call, and I think talking in part about the Joint Finance Committee between the two houses of the legislature. Yeah.
Well, and you get that kind of tribal secrecy because you have very tight party discipline and leadership control. I have had discussions like this with people. One gentleman I can think of in northern Wisconsin who's a Nebraska native and loves the nonpartisan unicameral Nebraska legislature. I have mixed feelings about that. I sometimes think that the problem with the Senate in Wisconsin, to be somewhat tongue-in-cheek, is it's the place assembly people go to die. And by that I mean you just continue the full-time political career by moving from the assembly to the Senate, and the two bodies are too much alike. And so what I suggested for the Senate is to keep it, but maybe it should be different. Maybe it should be... Maybe it's smaller, I don't know. Maybe it is nonpartisan. Maybe it's elected in the spring. Maybe that it has senators have 1 8- or 10-year term. And so it changes the chemistry a little bit between the houses. Sometimes there's advantage, to having two houses. They can correct the mistakes of the other and sometimes check the excesses of the other. So, I mean, there's some reason for that.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Todd Berry about what he sees as causing polarization in Wisconsin politics and a lot of ideas to fix it. Back to your calls now. Alex is with us in Green Bay. Alex, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I think this was briefly alluded to before, but I really have strong feelings on the amount of money that's dumped into our elections over the last, at least for me, 10 years that I really kind of look at it. And I know there's been some legal battles on this, but, you know, I just feel like it's really hard to have fair elections when you have large corporations and really large donors putting so much money to sway our elections up, both sides, to be honest.
Alex, thanks. Campaign spending, Todd.
Yeah. Well, I can't think about that and decide whether it's a symptom or the disease. Obviously, I mean, what I suggested in having a much larger state assembly was let's not get into the whole legal debate over who's a person and what's free speech and not. I understand there's very strong feelings on both sides of that. But the approach I took was, well, how do you essentially take away their influence without getting into legal battles? You make it ineffective for their money to be spent.
Thanks a lot for the call, Alex. Time for one more. Gil is with us in Madison. Gil, hi.
Hi. What I'd like to suggest is that we get away from all this outside money coming in, trying to determine who should be our representative in government. And I would like to see a law that says only Wisconsin residents can contribute to Wisconsin candidates.
Interesting. I don't know if that might have a hard time passing legal muster.
Well, Todd, that may be the problem, too. And then, I mean, if you take that logic down the path a little more, then maybe you should say that you can only contribute to candidates that live in your district. Well, you know, what do you do if you live in a place like Watertown that is literally in two counties, or River Falls or whatever? So, I mean, you start to tinker with this stuff, and, you know, the prescription sounds good. But, again, I'm trying to think of ways, creative ways, to blunt the effect of the money.
So, briefly, Todd, as you said, both parties have a disincentive to do most of the things you're talking about. This isn't necessarily the kind of stuff that people get fired up about, the procedural mm-hmm. type thing. Do you see anybody driving changes like this?
Probably not. I think there are a couple ways that it could happen. I've always believed that legislators are hyper-responsive, believe it or not, to constituents, and that if you have 25 or 30 people in a legislative district who really want to work hard, they can probably turn out an incumbent, regardless of the party leadings of the district, even. Another option is, you know, essentially you turn the governor's race into a referendum, and one of the gubernatorial candidates said, I'm running because I'm going to do A, B, C. Since we don't have initiative and referendum, that's the only way you can have a statewide vote on it.
We'll leave it there for now. Todd, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Todd Barry. He recently retired as president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. He's speaking for himself here. He was with us to share his ideas on reducing the partisan divide in Wisconsin's government. He's written about that. A piece appeared in the Wisconsin State Journal sharing some of his thoughts about the causes of the partisan divide in Wisconsin and possible solutions. You can still share your thoughts, by the way. What do you think would make politics less polarized in the state? What do you think of Todd's ideas? You can email ideas@wpr.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.